shame it is that God, the one who loves us and does everything for us, the one who is willing to help us, he has to seek for worshipers because it is true worship is so hard to find.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear the third in Pastor Brian Grant's series focusing on 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, where King Solomon gave the children of Israel God's own prescription for a spiritual revival. We believe heaven is crying out for just such a revival among the people of God in our own day, that the Church of Jesus Christ might be reinvigorated in proclaiming the only gospel that saves, the powerful gospel of grace. Here's where we've been thus far. In his first message, Pastor Grant developed the concept of what it means to humble ourselves before God. In his second message, Pastor Grant developed the command to pray and what intense prayer that moves the hand of God is all about. This evening, Pastor Grant will put the magnifying glass on the command to seek my face. So we invite you now to turn once again to our text and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, Prescription for Revival, Part 3. Here now is Pastor Grant.
A country church was having a week of revival meetings. On the first night, the preacher preached about repentance. And after, at the end of the service, when he gave the invitation, a man walked down the aisle crying, "Fill me, Lord, fill me." The next night, the preacher, he preached about drawing closer to the Lord. And when the invitation was given, the same man walked down the aisle again crying, "Fill me, Lord, fill me." The third night, the preacher spoke about holiness. And at the end of the service, he gave an invitation, and once again, guess what? The same man walked down the aisle crying, "Fill me, Lord, fill me." This time a man from the back shouted, "Don't do it, Lord, he leaks." That may be humorous, but the truth is, we all leak. You know, some of us were once on fire for the Lord, but although we are still serving him, if the truth be known, for many of us the thrill is gone. But today God wants to plug the leaks, amen? God wants to plug the leaks. He wants to restore the thrill, and he wants to set our hearts aflame with a holy passion for God. I'm concluding today. This is part 3 of this message that we have been sharing, entitled Prescription for Revival. And as you know, we've been using as our theme 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And we're going to put it on the screen so we can all read it together, because as I've been saying, I would love that everyone has this verse deep down in your heart because of some of the principles that it has and which our messages have been based on. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and what? Seek my face and what? Turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land." There are four preconditions for revival that are shared in that verse. The first one is we must humble ourselves before God. You can write that, it's already in your notes. We must humble ourselves before God. Number two, we must engage in intense prayer. And put this down. Number three, we must earnestly seek God's face. We must earnestly seek God's face. Amen. A few years ago, I heard a well-known preacher trying to describe God on radio. Are you with me? The man said, God has a body just like ours. Oh, this is a very well-known preacher. I was going to give you his name, but I decided not to do it since this is on the internet. Those of you who want to know his name can come and ask me. But he's very well-known. He said, God has a body just like us, with hands and feet and a face, with eyes, ears, and a mouth, and a nose. And then he made an even more shocking statement. He said, the Bible states that God measured the heavens with a 9-inch span. And he says, since my span is 8¾ inches, it means that God is not much bigger than I am. And then he concluded, get this, hear what he said. I'm not making this up. I don't know how I didn't have a car accident, because I was driving, going towards the Willow Grove Mall when he made this preposterous statement. He said, God is about 6'2" to 6'3", and he weighs about 200 pounds. Wow! If that's true, I am bigger than God. Can I be honest? It blows my mind how men of supposedly of God could say such ridiculous things and have people jumping and screaming. Thousands of people are screaming and licking up every word of nonsense. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27 tells us that not even the heaven of heavens can contain him, because our God is infinite. He's in a class by himself. And listen, God is not like us. God is what? Spirit. Since God is spirit, he does not have human body parts. But to help us to relate to him on a very personal level, God used many human terms to describe himself in the Bible. We call these anthropomorphic expressions. Put this in your notes. A nice big word. An anthropomorphic expression is one in which human characteristics are attributed to God. You see, some of us get confused because the Bible speaks of the hand of God and the eyes of the Lord. And today we're going to, this text talks about the face of the Lord. But God does not have a hand or an eye. These are anthropomorphic expressions. God is using human terms to help us develop personal relationship with him. You know, one morning this week, I was lying in bed singing in my heart, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. It's interesting, you know, you're preparing a message, and for whatever reason I'm singing, and it just hit me how precious these anthropomorphic expressions are. I'm singing, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting land. And then it suddenly dawned, hey, but he doesn't really have an arm. But I tell you, I was snuggling close to him, and I was leaning on his everlasting arms. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm so glad the Bible is full of these expressions, for they allow finite creatures like us to develop a personal relationship with the eternal, infinite God. This God who is beyond time and space, we can develop a personal relationship with him, because God has chosen to use terms to describe himself so that we can relate to him and we can have a personal relationship with him. But make no mistake, God is not confined and he's not constrained and he's not 209 pounds. So if God does not have a face, what does he mean when he tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 to seek his face? You know, we often say, let's seek God's face when we're about to pray. Am I right about that? We say, oh, let's seek the face of God. And we say, let's seek the face of God. But in 2 Chronicles 7:14, God told us both to pray and to seek his face. God is making a distinction. So don't leave here saying that whenever we're seeking his face, we are praying, because that is not the case. He has made a distinction in 2 Chronicles 7:14 between praying and seeking his face. And to explain the distinction, I want to contrast seeking God's hand with seeking God's face. Put down in your notes, seeking the hand of God often symbolizes prayer. Isaiah 41:10, we'll put it on the screen for you. Isaiah 41:10, the word of God tells us, fear not. God says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You see, the hand of God symbolizes God's awesome power. Write that down. The hand of God symbolizes God's awesome power, which he uses to help his children. Amen. The hand of God symbolizes God's awesome power, which he uses to help his children. God is willing to help us. Amen? He is willing to help us. Do you need help today? If you need help, don't be afraid to seek the hand of God, because the hand of God is a mighty hand. Amen? But listen, when we need help, we can go to the hand of God. But write this in your notes. Number two, seeking the face of God often symbolizes worship. Seeking the face of God often symbolizes worship. The Hebrew word translated face in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 means presence. The word actually means presence. God wants us to be constantly pursuing his presence. Write this down. When we seek the face of God, we're seeking to fellowship with him and to pour out our adoration and praise on him. Amen. We're seeking fellowship. We want to fellowship with him. We're not trying to get anything. We are seeking his face. We are seeking to fellowship with him and to pour out our adoration and praise on him. This is true worship. A.W. Tozer once said that worship is the single most important thing in life. And I tell you, even at many Sunday morning worship services, very little worship takes place. You don't believe me? I did some research, and George Barna, turns out he has already done the research, and George Barna's research team, they surveyed worship in America, and here's what they concluded, and this is their conclusion, that for most Americans, worship is something to satisfy or please us, not to honor or please God. Oh, you hear what I said? For most Americans, worship is all about us. It's about pleasing us. This is why you notice more often people will say, I didn't get, anybody ever heard that expression? I didn't get anything out of the worship. The focus is all about what we are getting, but that's not worship. The worship is on what he is getting. It's not to come to get something. When we come to worship, we're not trying to get. We're trying to pour out our adoration and our praise upon him. No wonder the 2 Chronicles 7:14, God says we must seek his face, because God knows that there was going to... Well, listen, and I don't believe this is anything new. It's just that we're getting worse, because we are becoming a much more selfish people. But listen, for too long, worship has really been about us. You know, you may recall the encounter Jesus had with the woman at the well in John's Gospel chapter 4. And in verse 23 of John 4, you can read it when you go home. As Jesus spoke to the woman, he told her that God the Father is seeking true worshipers. I'll be honest, every time I read that passage, it sort of shakes me. That God Almighty is seeking worshipers. He's seeking true worshipers. He's seeking individuals to worship him in spirit and in truth. What a shame it is that God, the one who loves us and does everything for us, the one who is willing to help us, he has to seek for worshipers because it is true worship is so hard to find. We line up with a long list of what we would like him to do. Am I right about it? We have a long list. How much time do you spend in God's presence just worshiping him? Just tell him how great he is, how much you adore him, how thrilled you are to be a child of God, how thrilled you are about the fact that one day you will be with him. How much time do you spend worshiping the Creator? How long do you spend worshiping your great Savior? And he says, God is seeking worshipers. It is my prayer that this morning he will find you and I, that we might be willing to worship him. I love the story of the lady with the alabaster box of precious and very costly ointment. I'm looking at the version in Luke 7. I'm not going to turn to it, but and one of the beautiful things about that passage, why don't we just turn there, just in case, just for a moment, Luke's Gospel chapter 7, and let's see if we can't just jump right into it. Verse number 37. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she saw that Jesus, I'm in Luke 7:37, when she saw that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisees saw who had invited him, they said, if this man were a prophet, would he not know what manner of woman this is? Listen, this is such an interesting passage. In one of the other gospels, it tells us that some people were critical because they figured this thing could have been sold for a lot of money. Remember that? And given to the poor. But this lady, what an amazing story. This woman was not even saved yet, but she was a true worshiper. This woman came, listen, one passage says it was very costly. This is probably the most valuable thing that this lady had. She washed the Lord's feet with her tears. She dried them with her hair. She kissed his feet and then anointed them with her most valuable possession. She didn't know much, but she knew about worship. And I believe there are at least three powerful lessons we can get from this lady. If they're not in your notes, so get your pencil and add these to your notes. Number one, what are three lessons we can learn from this lady about worship? One, we can learn that true worship requires humility. True worship requires humility. This woman, she was at his feet. She was washing his feet. She was drying his feet with her hair. Listen, true worship, this requires humility. Sometimes we think we are so big, such big deals because of our qualifications and the job we have, and we're so impressed by our resume that we don't realize that compared to God, we are absolutely nothing but dust. Come on now. Do you realize you're nothing but dust? He made us from dust, and we're going right back to dust until he resurrects us. We're not that special, but he is so special. And listen, worship requires humility. But second, true worship must be God-focused. Please never forget that. True worship must be God-focused. Please, we need to help ourselves get out of the idea that worship is about me. Drop from your lingo the idea, I didn't get anything from it. Worship is about God. It's God-focused. Listen, now don't misunderstand. When we truly worship God, our hearts are going to vibrate with joy. We will vibrate with joy because we have made the Lord happy. But the objective is not so much about me, it's about Him. And so she knelt at His feet. It was all about Jesus. Listen, true worship, did you get that? True worship must be God-focused. But third, true worship requires sacrifice. God is worthy of the best we have, you know, and may God help us that we will sacrifice. We will sacrifice. Sometimes we got to sacrifice financially, but we got to sacrifice time. May God help us to realize that true worship requires humility. True worship must be God-focused, and true worship requires sacrifice. Jesus was pleased with her worship, for she had lavished Him with her love and adoration. You know, one of the reasons GCA puts priority on the weekly breaking of bread is because, I wonder if you realize that, it is really about seeking the face of God. Are you realizing that? That's why there are no frills at the breaking of bread. That's why there's no special music. That's why there's not a whole lot of jumping and jiving. That's why, listen, it's really heavily focused on seeking the face of God. That's why we ask the brothers, and my brothers, this is a good point for me to make this point, because sometimes we come and we're praying for all sorts of stuff. We come with a list of, we want us, when you come to the breaking of bread, we ask you to pray at the Lord's Supper. Everybody listen good. That's not the time to be praying and asking God to heal this one. And we are so glad to see Sister Pat, who had her thing just on Friday. And we are thanking God He raised her up already. But that's not the place to come and ask God for her. We have the whole week to seek God's hand and asking Him to do this and to heal this sick one and to comfort this person who has been bereaved. We have the whole week to do that stuff. But we set aside this 1 hour every single week that we can come, and it's all about seeking the face of God. My brothers and sisters, my younger brothers and my younger sisters, listen, I'm not saying you can't tweak the service. It may be able to be tweaked, but I'm going to encourage you, never ever. I remember there was a discussion once about cutting back on the Lord. Oh, let's not do it. Let's be like everybody else. No, we don't want to be like everybody else. We want to prioritize worship. We want to prioritize seeking the face of God. And my brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to recognize how special this Lord's Supper is. And listen, and our hearts will vibrate with joy as we worship God in spirit and in truth. May God help us to put more emphasis on worship. My brother and sister, as you're listening to God's word this morning, He is saying to us, if we want to see the Spirit of God moving in our lives and in our midst in a mighty way, He says, listen, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, number one, we must humble ourselves. Number two, we must pray. Number three, we must seek His face.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today.
If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.